the Lord will help us. All right? Let's read our verses again, or a portion of them, if the Lord will be our helper, beginning in verse number 1. They came over unto the other side of the sea in the country of the Gadarenes. Notice that, in the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him, and always night and day he was in the mountains and the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. I love verse number 6, but when he saw Jesus. Amen. That word, but, it's that word that interjects, amen, a contrast. Amen. Here is the shape the man was in, but when he saw Jesus. That word, but, just simply means everything that began to change, amen, when Jesus came into his world. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Most Bible scholars believe that is 1,000 or more. Some believe as many as 6,000 devils were inside of this man. The Bible said, and he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh on the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. All the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. Forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered in the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. They that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. They went out to see what it was that was done, and they come to Jesus, see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. They were afraid, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. When he was come in the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. He departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Amen. No wonder they marveled. You read that text, that is a marvelous thing Jesus did for this man. You can be seated tonight. Let's pray together. We'll continue preaching on the thought, what power are you under? Heavenly Father, this evening, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we humbly bow one more time. Lord, I know in myself dwelleth no good thing, that, Lord, we can't do anything without the help of God. Lord, I ask you this evening, Lord, that you'd settle our mind down and our thoughts down. And, Lord, I pray this evening, Lord, we sense a need to be very, very sensitive this evening, Lord, the Spirit of God. Lord, I pray that you'd let us hear his voice and sense the direction he'd have, Lord, the message in this text to be preached tonight. Lord, we don't want to be in the way. And Lord, we want to say everything you'd have us to say. And Lord, we really want to be a help to somebody tonight. Lord, I don't know if it's somebody in this place or somebody watching from somewhere else or listening from somewhere else. Lord, somebody tonight needs some help. Lord, sin and the devil, Lord, has done everything but, Lord, carry their soul to hell. Lord, there's still time for them to be rescued. There's time for them, Lord, to hear the truth and, Lord, to see and to come to Christ. Lord, I pray this evening, Lord, that you would do that. Lord, the devil, Lord, is such a master at blinding the eyes of young people and, Lord, of parents and even of grandparents, Lord, to leave them in the darkness and, Lord, to leave them hopeless. I pray tonight the message would carry with it, Lord, a tone of hope. It's found in the Lord Jesus and him alone. Bind the devil tonight, I do pray. Lord, every foul and evil spirit, Lord, that would distract or hinder, Lord, I pray would be kept at bay this evening, and may the liberty of the Spirit of God, Lord, fill this place and fill every place the sound of the gospel is preached tonight. Lord, for all that you do for us, Lord, for the saved and the unsaved, the seen and the unseen, we'll make sure that you get all the glory and all the honor for what is accomplished. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Over and over throughout the Gospel of Mark, as we've been preaching through it, now entering this fifth chapter on this Lord's Day, it is clear that Christ is, in his earthly life and ministry 2,000 years ago, the one that is deity in the flesh. He has the power over everything that comes against him and comes against man. Things that were problems in men's lives and families' lives and in the community. The Lord, when he showed up, it just seemed like, hey, man, whatever he would say, he knew what to say. He knew how to deal with it. And in speaking or moving or putting his hands on a situation, the Lord just always knew what to do with the things that men did not know to do with. One of the things that stands out over the first four chapters and now immediately into the fifth chapter is this conflict between light and darkness. Darkness had gripped the land there in Palestine and in the land there of Israel and Jerusalem and even in the land of Gadara that is in our text, this region of Decapolis, there was great darkness upon the land. And Christ, being the light, has come to where the darkness is, and he is shining the light, and he is breaking the forces and the powers of darkness, bringing great hope to those that were hopeless. What a story that we have read all day today and pondered this morning and preached from and again tonight. The fact that Christ entered this country and this city and this region, this place known as the country of the Gadarenes. His story, we call it in our vernacular, in our way of understanding it, identifying it. And this is Christ's healing of the maniac of Gadara. I believe that's an appropriate way. We understand that that is literally what this individual had been reduced to, a lunatic, a maniac. He was a demon-possessed, unclean, spirit-filled, a child of the devil under the domain and the control and the influence of his father, the devil. This man had been brought into a place of depravity and wickedness, a man that would rival anything that we could ever see with our own eyes in the world in which we even live tonight. Yet, my friend, the saving of this soul was nothing for the Lord Jesus Christ to do. As far as sin and as far as the devil had carried this man, he had not yet carried him so far to be outside of the grip and the grasp of the grace of God. Jesus, when this story is over, makes such a radical deliverance and a radical change in this man's life, setting him free, saving his soul, and changing his life for time and for eternity. What a witness this is in the pages of Holy Scripture, as it reminds us that my friend Jesus can save those that the world and even the church and even you and I say are beyond hope. Christ amen, can rescue those, my friend, from their condition. Amen. I'm glad he is the great deliverer. I'm glad. Amen. No matter how far sin has carried someone, no matter, amen, the grip the devil has upon somebody's soul and somebody's life. Amen. If Jesus ever gets to where they are and reveals himself, amen, bringing the power, the gospel message, my friend, if they will believe and in repentance they will turn to him. Amen. He can save any sinner. He can rescue any life. He, amen, can do for any lost soul what only Jesus can do. Amen. And so there'd been a lot of men put their hands in this boy's life. Amen. They had tried, one preacher said, they tried incarceration. They probably tried education. Amen. They probably tried a lot of different nations. Amen. Amen. But no man, the Bible said, could tame him. Amen. Not their programs, not their governmental handouts. Amen. Not their medical expertise. Amen. This man needed the help of someone greater, amen, than common man. He needed the saving man. Amen. And so when nobody else could, Jesus showed up. Thank God Jesus did. And we surely could emphasize that again this evening, but we're dealing with this text as it unfolds in these verses we've read, that there are powers that are at play, if you will. There are powers that are battling one another and trying to conquer and dominate one another in this text. In fact, I've identified at least four for the message. Amen. There may be more, and if you see more, you share them with me and we'll back up and we'll preach some more from this text. Amen. But there are four prevailing powers that I see that are working in the text of Mark chapter number 5. And we are given to one of these powers, or maybe more than one of these powers, can be working in our very life as they worked in the life and around the life of this man known as the maniac of Kedera. And so we ask the question tonight, what power are you under? You are under a power. You are under an influence in this hour and this day. Amen. You have been given a measure of power and influence. And amen. How you exercise that, you'll see tonight in regard to the Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation and his word and his work in your life. Amen. Has a lot to do with what you're going to end up being when this life is done. And so we preached for a little while this morning, kind of got carried away. Amen. But we are introduced in verses 1-5. Amen. On the ravaging power of the legion. The ravaging power of the legion. This is the forces of hell. And this is the power of darkness. The very power of that wicked one, the devil himself. This man had, my friend, been introduced to some things along the way. Amen. And now Satan had his grip upon his life. And Satan, my friend, was not introduced into his life. Amen. These powers of the legion were not brought to him. Amen. To make him a blessing, to use him to do things to be a benefit to society. Oh no. It was the plan of the devil all along to destroy this man's life. Amen. You see, it is evident in this man's life, the plan and the will of the devil for all of our lives. That is what Jesus said, is come but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. My friend, the devil is having his way in the life of this man from Gadara. Amen. I won't re-preach it all, but the devil is at work in the hour in which we live tonight. Amen. To ravage the lives and the homes and the souls of mankind. It matters not where you're from, what your background is. Amen. He cares not about your race and your reputation. Amen. The devil tonight would love to destroy every life, every soul, every home, every friendship. amen, and destroy it, my friend, for his name's sake. Amen, and that's what he was doing in this text. The Bible said, amen, that Christ asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, my name is Legion, for we are many. Amen, there were many unclean spirits in this one man. Amen, and boy, how they plagued his life and how they, amen, were ravaging him. They, amen, were destroying his very life. They had so destroyed his life, nobody else wanted anything to do with that. Amen, they exiled him to the graveyard. They put him among the tombs. They were just happy not to have him in town anymore. Amen, being a menace to society, a nuisance to their, amen, to their comfort and their way of living. That's what the devil will do. Amen, he'll work in your life and destroy everything that is good. Amen, he'll divide you from your parents. He will destroy every friendship you've ever enjoyed. Amen, that is his plan. That, amen, is what he does. It is the ravaging power of the Legion. There's not much credence given to this message, amen, in these days, but the devil is alive and he is real and he is at work. Amen. Somebody said, I don't believe in the devil. How in the world could you not believe in the devil? Amen. Look at all the destruction in our land. Look, amen, at the condition our world is arriving to in this hour. Amen. The God of this world and the prince and the power of the air. Amen. That spirit that worketh in every one of the children of disobedience. Amen. I would submit to you that it is at an all-time high. Amen. That spirit of Antichrist, that spirit of darkness. Amen. That my friend seeks to ravage the lives of men. Amen. Oh, it is a lying spirit. It is an unclean spirit. A spirit of perversion. A spirit that is anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-righteousness. Amen. It is moving and it is working. And that is a power that many are under the influence of tonight. Amen. And so in the text, we see the ravaging power of the Legion. Amen. Now Satan and his spirit had tripped this man, gripped this man, had stripped this man and ripped this man. Amen. I'm telling you, the devil, amen, he don't play fair. He'll, amen, he don't play fair. He don't snatch souls by, amen, being honest. So no, he is a liar and the father of it, and a liar from the beginning. Amen. And so he lies and deceives men into sin. Amen. Till he can get his clutches into them, his shackles upon them. And my friend, his ultimate goal for this man and every child of disobedience, amen, is your ultimate destruction. Amen, in the end of burning with him in torment and in fire forever and forever. Amen, but I'm glad there's another power at work in this text. Amen, and we call it the redeeming power of the Lord. Amen, not only the ravaging power of the Legion, amen, but the redeeming power of the Lord. Amen. You see, my friend, the devil had a hold on his life. Amen. The devil had brought great destruction to his life. The devil had not so destroyed him that Jesus could not deliver him. He had not ruined his life to the point that Jesus could not redeem him. Amen. He had not stripped his life to the point that Jesus could not reach out and save him. Amen. I'm glad there is a greater power than the power of sin. Amen. I'm glad there's one that has redeeming power tonight. Amen. Jesus said to this man in the end, amen, you go and you tell everyone what great things the Lord had done for you and how that I have had compassion on you. Amen. What, my friend, had become a repugnance.
amen, to society, this life and this soul, amen, that it become, my friend, something that, amen, society and even the religious crowd, amen, they didn't even want to look at him, Brother Mike. They gave him no time. They gave him no more chances. Amen, it was the redeeming power of Christ, amen, that reached down and looked beyond this boy's condition and looked beyond all the negative that was in this boy's life. Amen, the redeeming power of Christ, amen, it reached down deeper into that man's soul than any man could have ever dreamed. Amen, that redeeming power of the Lord, amen, Brother Raines would put it this way, reach further down, and that boy can reach up. Amen, finally somebody got a hand down to how far low that boy had been stomped down to by the prince of darkness. Amen, and it was redeeming power, amen, from the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, that saved this man's life. Amen, it was redeeming power. Amen, it was Christ's redeeming power. Amen, that came to this. Amen, we'll call him a lunatic. Amen, amen, he came to where he was. Amen, Christ left the multitudes to go to one maniac. Amen, chapter 4, he's reaching multitudes. Amen, he's got great crowds. But in chapter number 5, amen, when chapter 4 ends, he said, we got to go the other side, boys. Amen. Maybe somebody said, well, Lord, the hour is late and the sun is setting. Amen. And I imagine the Lord said, it's later than you think it is. Amen. We're going to the other side. Amen. It didn't matter what storm, my friend, the devil sent their way. Amen. Christ would not be hindered. Amen. He would not perish in the storm. He would not be stopped. He would not be turned back. Amen. Redeeming power, amen, the redeeming power of Christ, amen, is seen and then it came to the lunatic, amen, but thank God his redeeming power, amen, not only came to the lunatic, but it conquered the lunatic, amen. The Bible said of this man in his condition, amen, what was he doing night and day? I know he was cutting himself, he's running around naked. He's jumping from one tombstone to the next. Amen. He is a lunatic. Brother Mike, the Bible said that, amen, while he's cutting himself and while he's carrying on in all this awful condition, amen, that men disdain, amen, what this boy has become. Brother A.L., there was something on the inside of him that knew there had to be more to life than he was living. Amen. The Bible said that he was a crying. Amen. He was crying. His soul was crying. Amen. His heart was longing for something. Amen. To come and to fix what had been broken. Amen. He's crying from a helpless state. Amen. But I'm glad the redeeming power of Christ, amen, heard that cry of that boy. Amen. And it not only came to where he was, amen, but it conquered the legion that had a hold of his life. Amen. This boy couldn't get it out. His mom and daddy couldn't pray it out. His preacher in the synagogue couldn't preach it out. Amen. His doctor, my friend, couldn't peel it out of it. Amen. But I'm glad Jesus in redeeming power came and conquered the legion that was in this man. Amen. You see, when the Lord shows up in a sinner's life, amen, if that sinner is responsive, amen, if that sinner has something on the inside and said, that's exactly what I'm looking for, amen, if they'll run to Jesus like this boy did, amen, the Bible said Jesus came to where he was, amen, but when he saw Jesus, he ran and fell down at his feet and began to worship him. And In other words, there's something in that boy that was a said, amen, this here is finally the one. Amen, I believe he can set me free. I believe he can deal with my issue. I believe he can save my soul. I believe he can rescue my life. Amen, and I love what the Bible said. Amen, the Bible said that, amen, when Christ got done that, and he gave leave to the legion that was in him. In other words, that at devil and all the spirits of darkness, they had to flee because Jesus said so. Amen. You say, how is it the devil has no grip on your life anymore? Oh, Jesus told him to leave me alone. Amen. I'm going to show you something in a minute. Amen. But we owe it all to Jesus. Amen. It was redeeming power that came and conquered. Amen. But redeeming power that changed the lunatic. You see, the devil not only got the devils out. Amen. But he must have put something in this boy. Amen. He must have gave him some peace and some joy. Amen. He must have gave him some hope. He must have gave him some quietness. He must have put some things on the inside. Cause when that crowd then had left to go tell what things had been done, and they got back, they seen a completely different man. Amen. They didn't see a naked man in a graveyard. Amen. Oh no, he was a man that was set down. Amen. Sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus. A man clothed and in his rags. Amen. Redeeming power, the redeeming power of Christ, amen, brought a change to the life of this man. Amen. Now, let me say a word or two. Amen. That's where we left off this morning, but I want to show you a couple of verses, if I may. Amen. To emphasize and put an exclamation point on this, and then I'll give you the last couple points here. Amen. Look with me in 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 8, where John the Beloved, I'll begin reading, you catch up. I'm interested in the middle to the end part of this verse. But he said, he that committeth sin is of the devil. I got one amen on that. That's still in the Word of God. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. Now notice this. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. John the Beloved said, you want to know why Jesus came to us? You want to know why God sent his only begotten Son into this world? Amen. And you can talk about a message of love. And you can talk about a message, my friend, of grace. And you can talk about a message, my friend, of, amen, that'll make you feel good. Amen. And I'm glad love is part of it. I'm glad that grace is a big part of it. John the Beloved said, I'll tell you the reason Christ came into this world, why Christ was manifested. Amen. It is that, amen, the works of the devil were so steeped in the lives of men. He was destroying them under his power. Amen. He was dragging them to hell. But Christ came to where we were, and he might destroy the works of the devil. That is, according to the context of the verse, that he might save you and I from our sin. He that committeth sin is of the devil. What are the works of the devil that are manifest in our life? It is when we sin, ye are of your father, the devil, and the works and the lusts of your father you will do. Amen. We're the children of disobedience, and the spirit of the prince and the power of the air, amen, is working in our life. But Christ came that he might destroy the works of the devil in our life. In other words, can I put it this way? It is his redeeming power that broke sin's power in our life. That's why we preach that you get changed when you get saved. Well, I prayed a prayer and I'm just going to live the same old life. I understand there's room to grow. I understand, amen, we're to grow in grace. We're to grow in holiness. We're to grow, amen, in the image and the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, we're not immediately made mature when we're saved. In fact, amen, when we're saved and born again as babes in Christ. Amen, but my friend, there is a new birth and a new creation, and we're made a new creature. Amen, how in the world is all that take place? Amen, it ain't baptismal waters, it ain't good works, it ain't in keeping the Sabbath. Amen, it's in the fact that Christ, amen, came into this world and was manifested, and all those that believe on him, and all of those that have put their trust in him, and all of those that have said, I'm tired of my sin. I'm tired of the way I'm going to live it. I'm tired of being on the devil's path. Amen. The Lord destroys the work of the devil in our life. Amen. That doesn't mean we won't sin. It just means we have a means to have victory over sin. Sin no longer reigns and has dominion over us. Somebody help me preach. Why? Because the redeeming power of the Lord is brought into our life. Amen. Boy, I can tell I'm a bogging down here. Amen. Again this evening, Hebrews 2 and in verse number 14. I love this chapter and I love this verse in this chapter. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, that is Christ, also himself likewise took part of the same. In other words, he took on human flesh. He came to where we were. Amen. He was made in the likeness of men. Amen. That's what Paul's is saying in Hebrews 2:14. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. Look at verse 15, and deliver them. Amen. Woo, hallelujah. I'm glad I've been delivered. Amen. There's a bunch of fools running around. Amen. On the internet. Amen. Underneath their tents and their religious services. Amen. Talking about bringing deliverance. We got to have deliverance. Amen. There's only one that can deliver. Amen. And it ain't some charismatic preacher. Amen. That's going to deliver me. Amen. Christ delivered me when he saved me. He delivered us from sin and he delivered us from the penalty of that sin. He broke, amen, the bond and the binding that the devil had on our life. And delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Are y'all listening? Am I making any sense tonight? That old boy is living in death. He's living in the tombs. Oh, amen. I mean, everything about his life is steeped in death. Amen. A reminder, he's under the curse of sin. A reminder, the wages of his own sin. A reminder, the payments for his own choices. A reminder that he's about to reap what he has sowed. Amen. But I'm glad the Savior came across from the other side. Amen. He came bearing that precious seed. He came bringing a glorious message. He came bringing a redemptive power. Amen. That ever-loving change this boy's life. Amen. And all of that was made possible by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It wasn't the Catholic Church. It wasn't Peter that done it. It wasn't John the Beloved that done it. It wasn't the Methodist or even the Baptist that done it. Amen. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That reached this man where he was. Amen. You say, preacher, you act like you tried to be excited about it. Amen. I just remember where I used to be and the path I was on and the way the devil was dragging me down it. Amen. And the choices I had made. chain and the sin that had me in bondage. But I remember the night and Jesus came to where I was and brought his redeeming power that changed my life. Amen. Amen. Thank God he's destroyed the works of the devil. He, my friend, came to where we were that he might destroy him that had the power of death, even the devil himself. Amen. The redeeming power of the Lord. Well, amen. Hallelujah. Ain't you glad you're saved? What power are you under tonight? So I can't quit sinning. That might be because you've never been brought under the redemptive power. I think there's a lot of people, my friend, hanging on to some things that, amen, that they prayed or they said or family backgrounds. In fact, it's not that you have a struggle in your flesh. You are under the absolute dominion of the power of darkness. And you don't stop because you can't stop. I'm not being mean. I'm not speaking down to you. I'm just being honest. That's where we all were. That's where, my friend, that's where the devil longs to get all of us so bound up. Amen. And viced up and enslaved and shackled where we can't stop. Amen. But you're not helping yourself. Amen. If you're not going to recognize what the issue is and be honest about it. Amen. And quit making excuses for why you do the things that you do. Amen. This old boy met the redeeming power of the Lord because he got tired of the way it was. He got sick in the condition and his life was in. And when Jesus showed up, amen, to do this work in this man was open to it. He was receptive to it. He was responsive to Christ bringing that redemptive power into his life. Amen. Amen. You see, when you get a man the place, he realizes, I cannot change me. Amen. Amen. When a man gets to the place and realizes it ain't my mama's fault and my daddy's fault, I'm in the shape I'm in, it's just sin. Quits making excuses and submits himself to Christ's redeeming power. Oh, I'm glad Christ can break. Amen, and destroy the works of the devil. Amen. Yes. Amen. The ravaging power of the legion, the redeeming power of the Lord. I've got carried away and I ain't real sure what we need to do. Let me just mention the third one and we'll see what takes place tonight. But notice the rejecting power of the lost. Something very interesting happens in this story. You would think that at such a sight that, you know, in my mind, I think, boy, if I'd saw something like that, I would be shouting. I would be, amen, saying, dear God, revival's coming to Gadara. They run and they began to tell it in the city, and the Bible said, and in the country, and they're spreading the word. You're not going to believe it. Some man named Jesus sailed through a storm last night and landed over here safely. Don't know how that happened. But when he showed up, y'all know that man. We've tried to bind him. We've tried to whip him into shape. We've tried to scold him and preach him and shoot him up with this and dog him down with that. Nothing we've ever done's ever helped. You ain't gonna believe it. He ran over there to where Jesus was, bowed down on his knees, and that man had that entire demonic possession and legion of devils that was in it. It's gone. That man is a different man. You'd have thought, Brother Jack, everybody in Gadara would have come out and said, Lord, thank you. Lord, we can't believe that you would do such a thing. Can I say there is another power that is at work for when they get there. There is no denying that Jesus has done something for this man. Nobody doubts the reality that a change has taken place in his life. In fact, there's not even anybody in this particular text that it was like we found, I believe it was in chapter number 3, that accused the Lord. Yes, you have done it, but you have not done it by the power of God. You have done it by the power of Beelzebub. There's not one person that even hints or whispers as though that is the way that this thing was done. They acknowledge that Christ had come, Christ had conquered, Christ had changed, and the validity and the reality of it seems to be in their grasp. Then they turn to the Lord and they say, "Would you leave us alone? We know you've come and we see what you've done for somebody else. Boy, we really was hoping somebody would help him. We was really wishing that somebody would do for him. We've tried all we knew to do. And here you've showed up and you have done it. And yet they exercise their own free will and reject the one that came to save them as well. How in the world could this be? How in the world could, amen, they exercise such a power? In fact, Christ submitted himself, a one who has been given all power in heaven and in earth, a Lord of glory, the God of the universe, amen, the one who came with redeeming power, amen, and just set another man free, amen, he submits his redeeming power, their rejecting power of their own flesh. Says, okay, if that's the way you want it. He got in a boat and he left. And as far as I can tell in Scripture, never came back to Gadara again. You see, inside of every human being, there is a very powerful God-given force that is in you. We call it, now it's known by several names. Some will fall out with me over how I'm about ready to word it, but I don't even give a flip tonight. The power is called the power of your own free will. The fact is, nobody can make you except Christ. Nobody can force you to acknowledge the Word of God and its standard and its morality and its holiness and its teaching. Not even the God of the universe will override your own free will in regards as to what you do with his son. What a powerful force. What a power that is at work. The rejecting power of the lost. At these of Gadara have requested the departure of the Son of God from their city. After all he has done, you would think they would say, if he could do that for him, imagine what he could do for us. If he can do that for their son, then what can he do for our daughter? If he can do that for their friends, what can he do for ours? And yet the Bible said, when they come to Jesus in verse 15 and see him that was possessed with the devil, had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Here is a very important phrase the Holy Ghost put in there. And they were afraid. So afraid of what Christ could possibly do, had done, and further could do, that they would rather send Christ away at the jeopardy of the Spirit's coming back. They were more afraid of the Savior and his salvation than they were the unclean spirits. I don't think I'm going to preach it tonight, but there's some reasons they exercised rejecting power as lost individuals. Maybe I will say it. Amen. Let me just say it and we'll see if the Lord let us pick it up and preach through it sometime. I think number one, they rejected him because of the change. The Bible said in regard to them being afraid, it was stemmed into they, amen, look there in verse number 16, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil. They began to talk about how the change took place. Brother Jerry, there is, and I'm about to go on and preach it. It's not my intent, but I will say this. You know why some exercise rejecting power? They don't bow their knee and respond and receive Christ. Amen. Don't let that scare you. Receive Christ is Bible terminology. Amen. We had some people come through here, amen, some time ago, and they's downplaying. And I'll walk with them to part of it. We're not talking about accepting Christ in terms of the watered down presentation of the gospel, but you'll never get saved if you don't receive Christ. John chapter number 1, and you can do with that whatever you want to do with it. They rejected receiving him because of the change. It comes when a man does. You see, they didn't want to give up their habits. It's easy to look at this fella and go, boy, he's got some habits. He needs to stop. But you know what I'm grateful for about the Savior? He knows where all of us are. And in the eyes of yourself and in the eyes of man and in the eyes of the world, you may not have as bad a habits as somebody else does, but here's the thing I know about the Lord. He gonna deal with you with whatever your habits are. And if you're gonna get saved, you're gonna have to receive the change that he's going to make. Somebody help me preach. Amen. You say, well, you're preaching, people got to stop this and stop that in order to be saved. Amen. Now, you're going to have to just reason all this out in your own mind. That's not really what I'm preaching as much as I am. If a man ain't willing to stop his habits, he ain't ready to be saved. You ain't got to stop it in order to be saved. But if you ain't sick of it and you ain't willing to let Christ change you, Christ, amen, will be rejected by you. He'll be sent on his merry way. And my friend, you'll be left in your sin. Say amen right there. Amen. That's a message the church used to preach.
Yes, sir. Right. Yep. There will be a change.
If you're going to get saved, there's some things, amen, you're going to have to submit yourself to letting Christ do in your life.
Amen.
I've told y'all about I'll use his name because since then he's been saved, but there was a man by the name of Chris. And Chris lived down the road from the church, actually the end of the road, the main road there from the first church I used to pastor. And Chris, far as being in the good old boys club, Brother Jack, he was just one of the good old boys. But he had two things in his life. He was shacking and he was drinking. Amen. We'd go down and we'd witness to Chris, and Chris would weep and cry. And here's what he would tell me. He said, "Preacher, I know you're right. I know I need to be saved. I know that I need the Lord in my life. I know I'm not ready to go to heaven. I know if I die in the shape I'm in, I'm going to go to hell."
Right.
He would say that with tears running down his face. And then he would say, "I just ain't ready to give this up. And I know if I get saved that Christ is going to want to work in my life and I won't be able to have this little honey on the side." Are y'all listening? That was a sinner man that had more correct Bible doctrine than most preachers standing in pulpits in this hour that we're living. a man that along the way had been given a presentation of the gospel. He knew that my friend good works wouldn't save him. He knew it wasn't about stopping all that so that he could be saved. What he was saying is, if I pray a prayer, I have no intention of changing. I have no intention of letting God do his work in my life. I'm not laying it down. I'm not kicking her out. I'm not going to let him change the bad sinful habits that are in my life. I'm happy the way I am right now, even though I'm not happy. Come on now. People reject and they exercise rejecting power because of the change it comes in salvation.
Amen.
Oh, I think there's something not only about the change, but about the cost. If you look in verse 16, it said they not only told him how it befell him that was possessed of the devil, said, and of the swine also. The cost. They owned all them 2,000 swine that had just run down the embankment and drowned himself in the sea. Now we know salvation don't cost us anything monetarily. It doesn't cost, you don't buy salvation, you don't pay for it. If you're going to get saved, you're going to have to count the cost.
Yes, sir.
And that's just an old message of the Word of God that has been watered down and changed to the point it ain't even preached much anymore.
Right.
There is a cost to being a child of God.
Amen.
You see, they were rejecting him, exercising rejecting power because of the change. They didn't want to give up their habits, but they were rejecting him because of the cost. They didn't want to give up their hogs. Now, they didn't want the old boy to be left in the shape he's in. They don't want to have to go down the graveyard, try and, amen, visit the tomb of their deceased loved ones and have to put up with a maniac running around naked in the cemetery. We don't mind the Lord coming by and putting a few straggling rags on him and clean his mind up a little bit. But you know, this thing, it's just got way out of hand. It's cost us more than we're willing to pay. Are y'all listening? A lot of people don't get saved and they reject the Lord because of the cost. They got hogs. Hogs were unclean animals in that day. Somebody say, amen, we're not in that day anymore. Amen. You know what I got in my, amen, some of y'all want to be Hebrews, you'll fall out with me. You know what I got in my fridge right now? I got two full racks of St. Louis style ribs and one full rack of spare ribs. Somebody say hallelujah. And tonight I'm going to lather them down in mustard and seasoning, and I'm going to let them sit in there all night long. And tomorrow, amen, through the day, I'm going to smoke them and spritz them and wrap them, and I'm going to let them, amen. Ain't you glad we ain't in them days anymore? Amen. So that pork, it'll hurt you. That ain't what Sammy Allen said. Sammy Allen said, as long as you get out and work and sweat, eat all of it you need. Somebody say amen. Amen. They had hogs in that day were unclean animals. What are they doing with those? God had forbidden that. Now they have things in their life that they know if we let Jesus hang around here, it's going to cost us some things that we really, really enjoy doing. Then I wrote this down. I think they rejected him because of the control.
Yes, sir.
They didn't want to give up their hold. So what do you mean? If you look in verse number 17, the Bible said, and they prayed him that he might depart out of what? Their coasts. In other words, we already have our boundaries marked as far as we're going to go.
We got our own rules we live by, and we're not interested in you coming in here and changing our rules and the way we live. These are our coasts. This is our boundaries. Now, you go help somebody else if they want it, but you are not going to control what goes on in the boundaries of our own life. And that breaks my heart. Because most people, their lives are in a greater mess than they're willing to admit, because they operate on their own boundaries, their own rules, and they don't want Christ telling them what to do and controlling their life and pulling the reins of their life and directing their life in the way that it ought to go.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
So what do? They exercise rejecting power. What a power it is, Brother Mike. Christ is there ready not just to save this man who was a crazy man, to save the entire town, to save the entire country, the entire community needed his redeeming power. One man got saved that trip. The rest said, not us, not us. We're rejecting you. Please leave and never come back. And Christ obliged them. Christ never went back to Gadara. As far as I can see in the scripture, he never came back to them again. So you believe in that? I believe in that with all my heart. I've seen people reject him and reject him and reject him because of the very things I preached tonight, and they're still lost tonight, and they're still in a mess tonight, and their lives are getting in a bigger mess. And at one time, the very things around them and the lives of others that they said, I can't believe that goes on in their life. I can't believe they've gone that far. They themselves have now gone that far, and some of them further. You better be careful rejecting the redeeming power of Christ. Because when you reject it, the devil gets a stronger stronghold in your life, and he'll take you further than you could even ever imagine your life could go.
Amen.
Rejecting power of the loss. Number four, and I'll just mention it so we can be done, but notice with me the reaching power of the life changed. Christ is getting in the boat with his disciples. They're on their way out. They're leaving. He's gone. But the man in whom the grace of God had changed and changed drastically, the Bible said that verse 18, he prayed him that he might be with him. In other words, sissy, he says, after all you've done for me, I just want to be with you. Lord, you have done more for me in 5 minutes than this crowd's done in 50 years. Lord, I don't want to be away from you. I want to be where you're at. That's a good sign somebody's truly been saved.
Amen.
Christ says to him and suffers him, the Bible said, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, this blows my mind. I need to probably come back and preach this. This blows my mind. Here's what Jesus tells him. Go home to thy friends. Ain't that amazing? Where's all them friends now? Where's all those friends been since he's been in the tombs? Where were all those friends at when the vices began to mount up in his life and he began to do things and they my friend, laughed and they scorned and they promoted it. And then he went further than they ever thought he could go. Where's them friends now? Jesus said, you got some friends. They ain't gone as far as you've gone yet. What you need to do is go back home and tell them how great things the Lord has done for you and tell them the compassion that I have for you. Are y'all listening?
Yes.
This man begins to experience reaching power of just having a life change. You know, he never was put through a 6-month soul winning course. This man was not instructed in the Romans Road. Here's how you give the Romans Road now, and the Ephesians Expressway, and the Philippians Bypass, and the Colossians. Amen. Are y'all listening? He was not trained in any kind of how to. Jesus said, get after it. Just go tell everybody what I did for you. That man had no problem doing that. There was no reservation. There was no embarrassment. There was no shame. He didn't have to be guilted into it.
Amen.
You know why? Because he had something real. People have something real, they ain't afraid to say something to somebody along the way. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me.
Amen.
Amen. Boy, a lot I could preach there. Amen. See, the mandate, God gave him a mandate.
Yeah,
go. Get after it. I know you want to be with me, but I've done saved your life. There's more people out there that you can reach. Amen. If you'll go your way and you'll go where you can go, I'll go somewhere where I'm headed, and you can reach some people along the way. He had a mandate. He had a message. Amen. Again, he wasn't given no program, no how-to. Jesus said, here's your message. Amen. Here's your message. Just go tell them what I've done for you.
Amen.
Tell them about how you felt so unloved and wondered, did anybody really care? And I showed up and I loved on you and I spent time with you. I came to where you was. I identified with you. I wasn't worried about what anybody thought. And I spoke to you and I put my arm around you and I loved on you. Tell them what compassion I had.
Amen.
That was the message. Then there's the marvel. The Bible said, and he departed and began to publish in Decapolis. Remember when we read the text, I said, pay attention. This whole thing begins in the country of the Gadarenes. The country of the Gadarenes is centered around the city of Gadara, which is in the region of Decapolis. Decapolis at that time was a city deca, meaning 10, a region of 10, predominantly 10 major cities that made up the Decapolis region. This man began to go. He began, no doubt, in Gadara. One by one, Brother Jerry, he went to those 10 cities and began to publish. The Bible said, publish how great things Jesus had done for him. And I love how verse 20 ends, and all men did marvel. So what's that mean? That means Riley, when he got done, they said, now wait a minute, let me get this right. You were full of devils. You was that Gadara man in the tombs. Nobody could come into town. You and your buddy run down naked and harass us and try to scare us and bother us. You mean to tell me you was one of those two men? That man said, I'm telling you, I was one of them till Jesus came into my life.
Amen.
Jesus, give me these clothes. And Jesus, I can't explain it. I know I was crazy, but now everything's so clear. My mind is so right. Them people, the Bible said, the more that man began to publish that, men just shook their heads, marveling, almost in a state of, we can't believe this is even the same man. Amen. There's somebody Jesus has for you to reach. Somebody Jesus has for me to reach. The preacher, I don't know all the ins and the outs and what. Let me tell you something. Best thing you can do is just befriend sinners along the way and spend enough time with them where you can begin to tell them how great things Jesus did in your life. Amen. I know it's the Word of God that brings conversion in people's life, But listen, church, don't ever underestimate the power of a personal testimony.
Amen.
The ability to sit down with another human being and say, let me tell you how bad a shape my life was in. Jesus fixed it all. Jesus redeemed me, and I can't explain all that He done. All I know is I ain't the man, I ain't the woman I used to be. Jesus made all the difference in the world. Amen. Because, sissy, there's other little sissies down there on River Street tonight. But Jack, there's other men who are married and they're just doing the best they can and they're struggling through life and don't even really know what they are missing. It would take a Jack Garrett to sit down and say, let me tell you about where my life was and what Jesus did and how He's made such a difference. And just that personal witness could be enough for them to say, I identify with that. And if Jesus could do that for Jack, Jesus could do that for me. Ladies, there's other teenagers in this town that are empty tonight. Jesse, young boys, young teenage men, young adult men who need to hear the story about what Jesus has done for you.
Amen.
Amen. Say, I ain't got much of a story, preacher. If you got any story at all, it's a great story to tell. Let somebody know. Be amazed what Jesus has done for you.